Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
So my question is, how's your soul? How's your soul? My desire for this series is to take some time just to be honest. Can you do that for me? Like, just be honest. And I think we can all admit this has been a very rough few years. Amen? And I'm not sure we've taken the time to ask, hey, soul, how are you doing? How are you doing? The Bible gives light to this. The psalmist tells us in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in with all that is within me. Bless his holy name. To be able to speak to the soul, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil against me or within me? Psalm 42:5 says, which reflects one of the songs that we sang this morning. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Why are you downcast, O my soul? So you have a command, a person saying, hey, soul, bless the Lord. Get in line with what's true. And then you have a question. Why are you downcast? Where are you at, soul? Now, the word soul in the Old Testament means living being, self, life, person, desire, basically the center of the person. And in the New Testament, the word soul is the essence of life in terms of thinking, willing, and feeling. It's the Greek word psuche, where we derive the word psyche, which comes from the root word psycho, which we get the word psycho, which means by definition, we're all a little crazy. And this morning, may we come to Jesus to find rest for our crazy, weary souls. If you would, please turn to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 25. That is on page 816 in the Pew Bibles. If you don't have a Bible, there's a Bible right in front of you. And we always have the page numbers for you so that if you don't know your way around the Bible, you're able to just turn to that page. And if you don't have a Bible, please take that Bible home. That is our gift to you. And if you're joining us online, if you need a Bible, let us know, whether in the comments or send us an email at info@ourchurch.org, and we will send you a Bible. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. Once you are there, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the word of the Lord. Father, would you now open our eyes and ears and our hearts and our minds so that we may leave this place with rest of soul, that there would be a sense of just rest, like peace that surpasses all understanding, like a stillness of soul that you offer to all those that call upon your name. Lord, for this to happen, we need your miraculous hand to move over our hearts and minds, to move through my heart and mind as I communicate. We ask this by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In March 2020, our world turned upside down. A worldwide pandemic hit our city with stay-at-home orders across the nation. In an article written 6 months after the pandemic, it said, "The mental health consequences of COVID-19 are already visible. The most common psychological disorders emerging are anxiety and panic." Anyone? Obsessive-compulsive symptoms, insomnia, digestive problems, as well as depressive symptoms and post-traumatic stress. It goes on to say loneliness has been linked to depression, irritability. Anyone else? Irritability and preoccupation with negative self-related thoughts. I love how that is stated. And preoccupation with negative self-related thoughts. Alongside a 26% increase in risk of premature death, increased cortisone levels, lowered immunities, clinical disease, hopelessness, and suicide. I just read an article recently that because of the shutdowns in schools, female teenage suicide is up 51%. Add to this a deepening political polarization. Let's not forget that. Another article cited 14 negative outcomes according to the political culture and environment that we were living in during the pandemic. Segregated, and I'll just list a few. Segregation in our own communities, an antagonistic attitude, a judgmental attitude, and the loathing of other political parties. Families being undermined, less likely to help each other out, health and stress issues, pressure to conform, and violence, which we saw with the racial riots that struck fear, undue guilt, and distrust across our nation. And if that wasn't enough, we personally as a church, some of us experienced death of loved ones, financial stresses, and rejection. And just when things were getting normal again, we had a variant. And then we have another more contagious, though less harmful, variant, which is shutting things down currently as we speak. The schools shut down outdoor sports 2 days ago. The soccer field that I help out with a soccer club here in town, our main field shut down their entire outdoor field because of the pandemic. It's brutal out there. You guys feeling better yet? It's the reality by which we have lived. And I think it's in these moments when we are able to face these realities, face all this stuff that we have just gone through. Whether you be in, like, I saw the effects in my own 12-year-old son having to do Zoom, and I saw the effects really with all my kids, and their overall education taking a huge hit, but specifically their social interactions, in particularly with my son Vinny, and how what a struggle it was as he's entering into puberty. Don't tell him I said him in those words. But as he's entering into that, man, and we tried to get friends to come around, but our neighborhood's kind of far off, and man, it was just a tough, tough, tough time. And there was not much that a lot of us could do about it. Proverbs 18:1 says, "Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound judgment." And for a lot of us, this isolation was not intentional, but was put on us. But I think the wisdom of Proverbs stays the same. That isolation breeds a selfishness, seeks his own desire, and then basically stops listening to good wisdom. That's what isolation does. I'm going to be focused on myself. And then when people tell me something, I don't want to listen. That's what isolation does. And I think that before the first COVID-19 kind of came through, I think a lot of us ended up finding ourselves looking like this. This is a picture of Tom Hanks talking to his friend Wilson. because he was alone on an island, and the only friend he had was a volleyball named Wilson. And I think that's the kind of like, so we, I think some of us, if not all of us, have seen this movie, and we saw the effects of how this character in this movie started to lose his mind. Thankfully, he gets found, and the movie has a happier ending, ish. But I think if we don't just stop and go, hey, how has isolation affected me? How has the news of what happened with all the political upheaval and polarization, and then we entered into a pandemic, and then we entered into a presidential race where it was just crazy, and then we did, and then another pandemic, or not the same pandemic, but a different variant, and then another one, and then news, and news, and news, and bad news, and even the fact that when you walk down the sidewalk, instead of being able to say hi to your neighbor, they then now go and cross the other side. I get that they're trying to be nice, but in the soul, it's still, there's a sense of rejection. And if we just stop for a second and just go, how is that affecting me? Because here's the thing, and this is why I believe this series is so important. And if we can just be honest, we can see some healing coming out of this. Is it because when we're honest about what's going on in our soul, how we're grieving and hurting and there's pain involved, then we can begin to see some healing and see the biblical light out of where we're at. Because here's the thing. You need two things when you open up a map. And I think a lot of us have one of them. We feel like we know where we're going. Like as Christians, we want to be more like Christ. I think that we want to, like, you know, grow our church and be involved in the community and love God and love our neighbor. I think we kind of have that direction, right? Amen? You guys still with me? But there's two things you need on a map. The other one is you need to know where you're at. Not just where you're going, but you need to know where you're at. So then you can calculate how to get where you want to go. And I think this series is for us to go, okay, where are you? Soul, where are you at? So that then we can biblically begin to take these truths of Scripture and apply them to our souls. I could go on about the craziness, but let's just take a minute to reflect. How has all that I just read a second ago affected your soul? In fact, let's just do that. Everybody, if you would, just kind of close your eyes. And think to yourself. Maybe even just ask, soul, how are you doing? As a confession, this is something that I've been walking through for a while now, because my personality lends towards extrovert, and I actually get life by speaking to people and talking to people. Some people, that is like the worst, like they're so tired after social interactions that they are just like, they need a nap. Like they come and hang out with you, like hang out with Rick for a minute, they need a nap. Like that's just how that goes. Like, you're just kidding. But that's the thing is it, but for me, like being able to talk to people and interact with people, it's actually like I'm energized by it. And I noticed that, and I've confessed this before, But through COVID, I found myself not wanting to be around people. And there was one point where I was had an appointment and it canceled, and the person canceled, and I was like, yes. And I had to stop and go, whoa, soul, what's up with you? And I'm seeing continually, and I'm still struggling in that kind of like distance from people and feeling that rejection and that paranoia and the wariness of soul. Anybody else? That's what it looks like to be honest and listen to your soul. And I'm just beginning the process. Jesus in Matthew 11 says it, verse 25, at that time Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. And what he's saying in that, and I think it's a good exhortation for us, is that in light of all this craziness, the one that the Father drew to Jesus was childlike faith. It wasn't the wisest, it wasn't the most popular, it wasn't the cream of the crop, the first pick on the kickball team, it wasn't that guy. It was the last. It was the person where both teams are looking at the guy going, hey, you take him, and they Rochambeau to who gets to take him. Like, that's who Jesus picks. Why? Like, that's the team that Jesus picks. Because in that, there is a reliance and such a gratitude. Like, Jesus says, he who has been forgiven much, what? Anyone? He who has been forgiven much loves much. It's that kind of, like, childlike faith. And I think that's one of our first steps to be able to find a solution for our soul. Or I guess the second step. First one, be honest. Second one, man, can we just return to that childlike faith? To be like a child again. To not let, because here's the thing. And this is something that I'm going to be kind of hammering throughout this series. No matter what your situation is, the truths of Scripture are still true. Let me say that again. No matter what your situation is, the truths of Scripture are still true. And I think it's time for us to come back into this childlike faith, to have some joy again, the innocence that's brought about by what Christ has done for us. 27, verse 27, all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Father chooses to reveal to him. Basically, what he's saying is that I have authority to introduce you to the loving arms of the Father. I have the authority because I'm known by my Father, and I know the Father. And then he says to anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him, that we too can know the Father. Why? What is he saying? Verse 28, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. The word there is weary. All who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus comes. So one, be honest. Two, childlike faith. Three, let's come back to Jesus, because there is a invitation, even as a Christian, to come back to Christ. And the word yoke there means that, in other words, to be a follower of Christ. It's like when an oxen had a yoke over them. It was also in the same reference to a disciple of somebody else. There was a certain burden that they had to carry. And he's saying, hey, if you're a disciple of Jesus, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So if it's hard, and it's not that it's not difficult in the persecution, but if there's a heaviness to following Jesus, it might be more about what you're doing wrong rather than what it looks like to follow Christ. Because when we follow Jesus, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. So there's an invitation to come. So may we, in this next season, just simply come back to the basics of faith. Just simply come back. Like the thing that, one of the elements that has been brought about by COVID and isolation and the bad news after bad news after bad news after bad news is this negative self-talk. And Paul Tripp is quoted saying this. Paul Tripp is a Christian counselor, pretty renowned sort of dude. And he says, I'm going to loosely quote it. There's no one more influential in your life than you because no one talks to you more than you do. You guys get all that? I'm not sure if I can say it exactly. Okay, I'll send it to you. But there's no one more influential in your life than you because no one talks to you more than you do. Whew. Got it. And that's the thing is if we're not honest about what our soul is saying to ourselves, the thoughts that are in our mind, the negative self-talk that's there, and instead of allowing scripture to kind of put those negative talk spaces away and cast them out or align ourselves with the truth of scripture, then we will stay in that negative area and that negative space, and then it will begin to affect our decisions. And then those decisions have repercussions. So let's not go there. You see, being weary is not a sin, which is really good news. Jesus himself was weary. It says in John 4:6, Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well. Being physically tired, being weary is not a sin. But allowing weariness to keep you from doing what's right is a sin. Not only was this confessed earlier today, but it's a scripture. 2 Thessalonians 3:13 says, as for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good. You see, when our weariness begins to affect what we do, and when our weariness begins to overwhelm us to the point that we don't look to the truths of Scripture to be able to go, okay, like, I know I feel this big, that no one listens to me, that I have no voice, that I constantly feel run over, spit on, rejected. I constantly have a sense of loneliness, and I'm constantly misunderstood. Like, if that's you, then it's time for us to go, hey, but I am a child of God by his grace. I am a daughter of the living King. I am a son of the living King. You see, we take that negative space, that negative talk, and go, but does it align with the word of God? If our weariness keeps us from stepping in to the truths of Scripture, then it becomes sin. It keeps us from doing that which is good. May we come to Jesus and find rest in him and him alone.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayer, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.
In the quiet, in the stillness, I know that you are God.